The global atmosphere is morphing like never before. It's time to pay attention to the warnings that point to some things to come. That's next.
Does it seem to you that in more ways than you can count, the world is turning upside down? If you think so, you're right. In a number of ways, everything is changing. Political upheavals, weather and natural disasters, an entertainment industry out of control. It's as if the world is unraveling before our very eyes.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Co-host Eric Barger joins Jan this hour to meet with Dr. Ron Rhodes about his latest book, End Times Super Trends, a political, economic, and cultural forecast of the prophetic future. The author of over 70 books, Ron Rhodes is a Bible scholar on many issues, including the end times. He's here today to discuss the trends happening in our world that relate to Bible prophecy. To begin the conversation, here's Jan Markell.
And welcome to the program. We help you understand the times, learn to become a watchman on the wall. And we're going to be spending an hour today with a special guest, because I have just read cover to cover one of his newer books. We'll talk about it in just a moment. Eric Barger joins me in studio today. And Eric, we've both read End Time Super Trends, a political, economic, and cultural forecast of the prophetic future. And both of us are very moved by it.
Mm-hmm. Just picking the book up and looking at the chapter titles would get me started, but it touches so many different areas that we need to talk about as Christians in this world today.
And it is authored by the familiar voice of Ron Rhodes. Dr. Ron Rhodes, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. Always good to be with you.
Ron, you know, kind of where to begin, but we're going to hit as many of these trends as possible today. And you say, quoting you here a lot, if that's okay, it says, Americans recognize they live in dangerous, bewildering times. The evidence is everywhere and undeniable. We might say that the signs of the times found in the pages of Scripture constitute God's intel in advance regarding what the world will look like as we enter into the end times. And then you go on to say, a few pages later, you say many have succumbed to prophetic agnosticism. So what do you mean by that?
Well, that's a good question. Agnosticism literally means no knowledge or without knowledge. And so an agnostic is a person who claims he is unsure, having no knowledge about the existence of God. Now, when we apply that term to Bible prophecy, we are referring to people who say they are unsure about Bible prophecy. And typically, they will say that there are so many different views on the rapture, so many different views on the millennium, that nobody can be sure about anything. And so for that reason, a great deal of the church has backed off from Bible prophecy, even though over more than one-fourth of the Bible is Bible prophecy. So what that means is a lot of people are ignoring a large part of the Bible. Now, Jan, real quickly, the thing that has really rescued me from that kind of line of thought is simply taking the words of the prophets literally. When the plain sense makes good sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up in nonsense. And if you follow that principle, you will not end up in prophetic agnosticism.
Well, let me just say, though, that we were talking off air a little bit, and you're encouraged because some of the things you're writing seem to be making a difference anyway. Sales are good of the topics that you're covering. The conference activity I have has been, we've had record attendance. So not all is gloomy in this realm.
No, it's not. I think that we're witnessing a move of God's Spirit. To tell you the truth, one of the things that got me to become a Christian in the first place was biblical prophecy, because I grew up in a liberal church and I never heard about prophecy. But one of the things that made a huge impact on me when I started to understand Bible prophecy is that the Bible really must be the Word of God, because only God knows the future. Mm-hmm. And once I settled that in my mind, once I understood that the Bible is God's words to us, that changed everything. There was a huge paradigm shift in my life, and I suspect that's taking place with many people across our country. And so even though there's a large number of Christians who have backed off from the Bible and even from Bible prophecy, there is that core group of Christians out there who are excited about it. And these are those Christians who know that the rapture of the church could take place at any moment. And they live accordingly. They live in such a way that they could meet the Lord any day.
Well, I kind of consider them a remnant. Sometimes I call this program Radio for the Remnant. And I kind of think that they're a remnant within the church.
Absolutely, a remnant in the church. And we've called it that for some time on a lot of programs. But Ron, where do you think the blame lies for the general ignorance of prophecy among Christians today?
Well, I think that the number one reason is that Christians have turned away from the Bible. Today, we're living in a culture where people are getting a great deal of their doctrine and beliefs from experience. Mm. And so it seems to me that the Bible has been issued out the back door while experience has been invited in the front door. And so even though the Bible is virtually omnipresent, it is the number one most unread book in the world among many people. And there are statistics that prove that. And the thing of it is, I'm not just talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about Christians who are not really reading the Bible very much. They're basing a lot of their beliefs on experience. And you know as well as I do, I mean, if you're basing your beliefs on experience, well, you no longer have a barometer of truth against which you can measure truth claims. And you could end up believing anything. And in fact, a large part of the church has fallen into that, believing all kinds of strange doctrines.
Would you say that this is really because pastors have turned to user-friendly sermons instead of preaching through the Word of God and explaining doctrine and the things that Christianity has been based on all these years?
I think that's a large part of it. And I think it's also a reality in our day that marketing programs have taken over many churches, and they're using sort of a corporate mentality where they're using secular techniques to increase attendance at church and keep people attending their church. And they're also using techniques to protect their market share. In other words, you stay with their church and don't join some other church. And I think that when you have a mentality like that, you're not having any kind of true spiritual input. And if you're not having true spiritual input, then how can you possibly expect spiritual fruit among the members of the church?
Well, Ron, here, I want to pick up on what you're saying because I want to head into the trends. And the first trend I wanted to hit, and even play a soundbite if I could in a few minutes, is your trend about, again, when we're looking at sort of last day's super trends, the book is End Times Super Trends, you talk right away about apostasy. Now, we talked about this at my conference back on October 7th. Mark Hitchcock talked about it and says it's an inside job. And yet, I think all three of us are literally horrified at some of the apostasy that's going on in our churches today. First, I want your comment, Ron, but then I'm going to follow that up with a clip, I think, of Dave Wilkerson, who's going to talk about what you just said. I think you two, you and Dave, have been talking. I know he's in heaven. I realize that, and you must have a direct line there, but it sounds like you two have been talking. But anyway, talk to us for just a minute here, because, again, apostasy is an inside job. You talk in your book, you talk about, and we've talked about this on air before, Christian Wicca. You talk a little bit of Chrislam, not to mention just your average, let's say, First Baptist Church, if you fill in the blank, that's straying from sound doctrine.
Well, that's right. You know, one of the signs of apostasy is that we do have a lot of different hybrid religions coming up. For example, Christian Wicca is very popular among teenagers today. There's Christian psychics out there who claim to have a gift of the Holy Spirit that will enable them to contact the dead. Today, we've got over 150 million Americans who are better categorized not as unchurched, but de-church. Mm. And what I mean by that is that they used to go to church, but over half of our country no longer goes to church. You know, that's a falling away. The statistics reveal that between the ages of 15 and 29, 59% of Americans disconnect from church life. One-third of all college students want nothing to do with religion. And get this, a majority of Christians, 65%, no longer share the gospel with unbelievers. Now, there's so much that I could say here, Jan, but what we're witnessing, I believe, is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy.
Right.
Because biblical prophecy basically involves signs of the times, which basically amounts to God's intel in advance as to what the world is going to look like in the end time. And one of the things that the Lord told us very clearly is that there would be an increase in apostasy. The thing of it is, Jan, if I can be really honest with you, is that when I researched this book, it was with a view to helping readers understand how bad things are.
Yeah.
But I surprised myself. Things are worse than I thought.
See, that was one of my questions, Ron. I was going to ask you. And look, you were the Bible answer man at one time. You've had yourself immersed in apologetics. You're very tuned in to what's right and what's wrong theologically. And I wanted to ask you, but were you even prepared for our times?
Well, when I started to understand how bad things really were, I started to ask myself, you know, have things taken a turn for the surreal? I mean, can things really be as bad as they seem to be? And to me, the only explanation for what's going on is that this is not just a human thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe that there is a demonic conspiracy going on behind the scenes. Now, just as people are ignoring Bible prophecy today, you want to know another topic people are ignoring?
Yeah.
demonic warfare, demonic influence in the lives of Christians. Not only is this demonic conspiracy responsible for many Christians falling away from the faith, I also believe that Satan and demons are busy creating brand new religions that reach different demographic areas of our society. And Satan is a master marketer. And so it's a massive demonic conspiracy that I think is responsible for a great deal of this.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. Eric Barger joins me today, and we are talking to Dr. Ron Rhodes because he has a new book, and you find it at your local Christian bookstore, please. You can find it at christianbook.com. End Times Super Trends, a Political, Economic, and Cultural Forecast of the Prophetic Future. I'm going to let Dave Wilkerson speak into this topic, then we need to move on, hit some other trends in the time that we have.
Which you can go into any city, in any town, and almost overnight build a mega church. And as I understand this formula, you begin by going into the community with your workers and you poll the community to find out what the sinner found offensive about attending church. Well, why don't you attend church? And what was offensive about it? And what would we have to do to bring you back into the church? What would make you comfortable? What would you like to see? You don't like choirs? We'll do away with choirs. You don't like suits in church? You come the way you choose. Just tell us what you want. And they survey the community and then sit in their with their computers and in their conference rooms, and they design a program that will make it comfortable for the sinner and make it friendly for, they rather call it sinner friendly, they would call it seeker friendly, and try to attract them to come into the house of God. It's becoming the most prosperous, most flourishing of all religious movements in the history of America. The churches are run like corporations. The pastor's the CEO, chief executive officer. And it's big business. And this formula has now been cleverly packaged, and it is now being pushed in seminars all over the United States. It sounds good. What they say sounds very good. It sounds spiritual in its goals. It sounds like Jesus is the central theme. And folks, I'm not going to name any names because I'm not talking about the character of these men. I'm talking about the gospel that they preach. I am here to remind you that Paul the Apostle warned of the coming of another gospel, which we have not preached. He said there is coming another gospel that's going to preach another Jesus. You'll hear his name. It'll sound sweet, but it's not the Jesus that I preach, Paul said.
Okay, in the interest of time, Ron Rhodes, I'm going to move on to another one of your trends you cover, and that's moral decline. Talking 2 Timothy 3, and we see the decline of character, lovers of self, proud, boastful, ungrateful, etc. I have my own truth. Moral relativism seems to reign supreme. Whatever is right for me is it, and anything goes mentality. We're on overdrive there.
Well, we are. You know, it seems like the greatest sin you can commit today is to tell somebody else that they're wrong.
Yes.
Mm. It seems like one of the commandments is, thou shalt not interfere with another person's reality. And you're right, self reigns supreme. The broader culture has adopted self-fulfillment as its ultimate measure of moral good. In fact, there was a poll taken, Jan, and 57% of the American public agreed that whatever is right for your life is the only truth that you can know. I mean, that's over half of our population. We've got 300 million Americans, a little bit more, in America today, and that means over 150 million Americans believe that whatever works for you is your truth. And I tell you what, when you reject moral absolutes, anything goes. 71% of Americans believe in divorce. 68% believe that sex between an unmarried man and unmarried woman is okay. 63% of Americans now believe that cohabitation is okay before marriage. I mean, I could go on, Jan, but over half of our country is in serious moral decline.
And you suggest, Ron, you suggest that this could lead to some kind of an implosion here in this country, perhaps the Western world. Maybe that's why America doesn't show up real prominent in eschatology, Bible prophecy.
Well, I think it's entirely possible that America could come under judgment. And we need to keep in mind that God is absolutely sovereign over the nations. Both the Old and the New Testaments affirm that. And with America presently in free fall, with no repentance in sight, how can you avoid the conclusion that America could possibly come under judgment? Now, here's the thing that scares me, Jan. When you look at the history of how God judged nations in the Old Testament, he always did it by another nation.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, he would use the Babylonians or the Assyrians or some other pagan group to chastise his own people. Is it possible that in modern America, God may choose to use another country to bring discipline against this country? I don't know, but it scares me, especially when I read passages like Romans 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think it's a very serious thing that we're dealing with.
I think we're a Romans I culture right now. Eric?
I think this is a holdover from the New Age movement and its influx in the 60s and 70s, because even though people maybe haven't adopted the spiritual ideas, one of the ideas was whatever you believe is right is okay, and whoever you think God is, whether that's yourself or somebody else or something else, is fine. And so this is the holdover that I think the culture has adopted.
Okay, I want to cover just as many of these trends as we possibly can. You've got a lot of information on the rebirth of Israel, which of course is the super sign. But then you spend a little extra time on the rebuilding of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, spoken of by Daniel. And as I speak, work is being done. The revival of the Sanhedrin after 1,600 years, the Temple Institute, etc. I bet some of this even surprised you. Am I right?
Well, it both surprised me and excited me.
Yes.
Because biblically speaking, the temple doesn't really need to be rebuilt
That's
until
right.
the tribulation period, which is yet future. But even now, we're seeing the prophecies casting their shadows before them, in the sense that we're now seeing preparations being made for the fulfillment of that prophecy. You know, you mentioned the Temple Institute that was founded in 1987, and they are presently prefabricating priestly garments and musical instruments and the various implements that are used for sacrifices and worship.
Yeah.
There's another group founded in 1967 called the Temple Mount Faithful
yes.
that has the goal of liberating the Temple Mount from Islamic occupation and consecrating the Temple Mount and then rebuilding the Jewish temple there. And meanwhile, of course, as you know, the Sanhedrin has been reestablished after 1,600 years of absence.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why that's needed, Jan, especially during the future tribulation period, is that number one, it will be the role of the Sanhedrin to oversee the rebuilding of the temple. Number two, the Sanhedrin has presently called for architectural plans mm-hmm. for rebuilding the temple. But number three, and most important, it will be the Sanhedrin who chooses the high priest of the temple during the tribulation period. And so to me, the very fact that, that we're seeing all of this taking place today, along with the multiple other signs of the times that we could talk about, seems to indicate that there's a convergence at a date in the very near future. And of course, that date that I'm talking about is the beginning of the tribulation
yes.
period. So I think that every day that passes is a day that we draw nearer.
Well, obviously something has to happen to this Muslim Dome of the Rock sitting on the temple site
right.
as we speak.
I think there's a couple of things that could happen there.
Go ahead.
Number one, I believe that this could possibly be a result of the Ezekiel invasion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have Russia along with Iran and Turkey and Sudan and a number of other Muslim nations attack Israel. Now, if they attack Israel at the very beginning of the tribulation period, or maybe even a couple of years before mm-hmm. the tribulation period, God himself is going to take out the Muslim invaders. That's what the text of Ezekiel 39 tells us. God himself will destroy the invaders. That being the case, Muslim resistance to Israel during the tribulation period will be greatly minimized. Now, there's a second possibility real quick. Daniel 9:27 tells us that the Antichrist is going to make a strong covenant with Israel.
That's right.
Now, that word strong in the Hebrew carries this idea of forceful, backed by power, backed by might. And it may be that a condition that the Antichrist sets for Israel and all the other Muslim nations is that Israel gets to build the temple on the Temple Mount as part of the strong covenant. And anybody that challenges that has to face the power and the might of the Antichrist. So you've got those two possible options as to how this might come about.
We are talking about End Time Super Trends, because that is the name of Dr. Ron Rhodes' newest book, A Political, Economic, and Cultural Forecast of the Prophetic Future. Find that at your local Christian bookstore. We're not carrying it, so best not to call us because we can't help you. We're going to take a short time out. When I come back, we're going to continue on with some of the End Time Super Trends that you're all seeing, and I'm wondering if you're connecting the dots. Some of you are because you've sat under good teaching about this topic, and others of you are, quite frankly, you're a bit confused right now. I hope by the end of the program that this will all make a lot more sense. Back in just a couple of minutes.
You've joined us for Understanding the Times. Every week, many listeners contact us about products, conference information, and radio programs. We invite you to contribute to this listener-supported ministry by sending your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can find all our archive radio programs when you visit olivetreeviews.org. You can order a digital copy of today's broadcast when you phone 763-559-4444. And if you were unable to attend our fall conference in October, video and audio recordings of that event are available for purchase. To order your conference memories, click or call. Log on to olivetreeviews.org or dial 763-559-4444. In just a moment, we'll return to Jan and Eric's guest, Dr. Ron Rhodes. Our recent Understanding the Times conference brought great clarification to the many issues of the day we are watching in daily headlines. They will only make sense when interpreted from the Bible. Our times are perilous. The church is caving to apostasy. America cannot be found in biblical prophecy. Europe is preparing for the Antichrist. But the good news is that Jesus Christ will return for his bride very soon. Our speakers included Amir Sarfati.
The Antichrist has to be a good friend of Israel, has to serve the interests of the people of Israel and the Jewish people, has to be liked by them to the point of even worship by them.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
The clarion call is to know that not only are we living in the last moments of world history as we know it, but we need to know what to do while there's still time.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
The enemy is working feverishly today in seminaries, denominations, and churches to pry people away from trust in the inerrant, inspired, living Word of God. And apostasy is an inside job.
Michelle Bachman.
The final judgment over Babel goes hand in hand with the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the dawn of the Messianic time, which will be centered on Zion.
Why not order complete sets of CDs and DVDs today? 5 messages are offered on DVD for just $35 plus $5 shipping in the U.S. 5 messages are offered on CD for $30 plus $5 shipping in the U.S. DVDs contain valuable speaker PowerPoint. Order online at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can also write to us at Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311.
So much is happening so fast, wouldn't you agree? It's the likes of which we've really never seen before in human history. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us to understand the times and, like the men of Issachar, know what to do. The clarion call is to know that not only are we living in the last moments of world history as we know it, but we need to know what to do while there's still time.
Author of the book End Time Super Trends, a political, economic, and cultural forecast of a prophetic future, Ron Rhodes is today's guest on Understanding the Times. Dr. Rhodes' new title is available online at Amazon.com or ChristianBook.com. Let's return now to the discussion of the significance of today's major trends through the lens of Scripture. With Ron Rhodes and Eric Barger, once again, Jan Markell.
Everybody's pushing towards this globalization, and once you have globalization, you have central power. And if you have central power, you can have one character eventually control it. You'll need a leader to run this central power, so it's being pushed on us, and for a variety of reasons. For economic reasons, for reasons of poverty, this and that, and it's funny because that's the ones we mentioned, the scripture mentions, and that's what Zuckerberg talked about. All right, one world political and economic system, and we've got that under the mark of the beast, right, where no one can buy or sell without the mark on the right hand of the forehead, which means the globalism, the world will desperately look for a leader. Okay, you're going to try and put this person up, try and put that person up, all these empty suits. There's got to be a leader, coming to run this one world political and economic system. It's in place. You got to find the leader. Well, the leader will come up, of course, and that is this final Antichrist, the final Gentile world leader that will arise.
And that is one of the end time super trends. That's what we're talking about for the hour, because I have Dr. Ron Rhodes on the line with me from Texas, and we're discussing his newest book, End Times Super Trends, a political, economic, and cultural forecast of the prophetic Future, which you can find best at your local Christian bookstore. Christianbook.com even has it in an e-version and CD version. Ron Rhodes, let's head there for just a moment. The globalism issue. You write about it. It's one of the trends, the one world system. And you suggest signs of globalism. They're in economics, banking, trade, environmentalism, science and medicine, faith, government. At Revelation 13 outlines a one world system. So we virtually go from Nimrod to George Soros. And you talk about this as a trend.
Well, that's right. And there's a couple of things to point out here. I think, first of all, we could make note of the fact that the cascading problems that we're facing today point to the need for globalism in the minds of a number of people, you know, very influential people. Today, we've got not just the Middle East conflict, but terrorism that's worldwide and overpopulation and starvation and pollution and famine and national and international crime. Cyber warfare is exploding. There's economic instability. And Jan, there's a lot of people who think that these kind of problems can only be solved on a global level. And so today there are many people yearning for a leader who can take control and fix everything. And, you know, economics plays a critical role here. In fact, there are quite a number of financial advisors that have advised past presidents that a global economy is inescapable. And they say that the world's consistent financial problems will most likely lead to a financial new world order. Mm-hmm. There's a number of financial leaders that are today writing books and speaking about the need for a global economic policeman to watch over the globe's financial affairs. And of course, you and I know that that will one day be the Antichrist, right, according to Revelation 13. But the point that they're making, Jan, is that nation-state economies don't work anymore. We need a global system because what happens in one country economically automatically affects every other economy in the world because we are so deeply interconnected from a technological viewpoint today. And so that's one of the reasons why Germany and Russia and China and Brazil and other countries are now saying that we need some kind of a global financial regulation and even a new kind of a currency to replace the American dollar. And so when I call this a super trend, that means that I'm saying that this is an extreme trend. It's not just a trend. It's an extreme trend. That's what a super trend is. And so whether people like it or not, we are actually headed toward globalism. And in fact, it's already here in root form, and it's going to continue to grow.
Something's going on over in Europe because a couple of nations there are trying to back out of the European Union, the UK, and even some issues going on in Spain. So they're trying to throw a monkey wrench into the globalist plan.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, I've done a lot of study of the European Union, and it could be the forerunner of the revived Roman Empire that the Antichrist will head.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the original European dream was a single government that eliminates national rivalries within Europe. But there have been some studies, some scholarly studies, in fact, that have suggested that the ultimate goal of the European Union was not merely to unify Europe, but also to use this union as a stepping stone for eventual global government by the Europeans. And so that, in fact, is going to one day happen, according to Revelation 13. We are told that the Antichrist is going to engage in a squeeze play with the mark of the beast.
Right.
And if you take the mark of the beast, you're resolved to follow the Antichrist. You've crossed the line in favor of the beast. But there will be Christians, there will be believers during that time who resist that. And I hate to say it, but the result will likely be either starvation or martyrdom, one or the other, for many of those people.
Let's stay in this vein for just a moment, because along with this trend towards globalism, there's going to becoming more and more a lot of noise about a cashless society. And that's one of the trends. That's one of the end time super trends, is a kind of a longing to get rid of cash and have everything go electronic. And you write about some of the reasons why this is the most practical thing to do. I think we'd have less crime, we'd probably have less drug problem, etc.
Well, that's right. And the thing of it is that we're already seeing this today. It's not like we're going to wait until the tribulation period and all of a sudden the world goes cashless. Rather, today we are in the process of becoming cashless. Presently, over 70% of all consumer payments are electronic in nature. There's more than 2 billion credit cards used in the United States alone. And there's a number of economists that are suggesting that cash could soon become obsolete. Now, when you think about it, a cashless society makes it possible for the Antichrist to control who buys or sells. Every selling establishment will have an account number. Every person on earth is going to have an account number. Now, if people had cash and were still using cash, well, they could still buy something on the black market. But if the entire world were cashless, with everything being handled electronically, then that enables the Antichrist and the false prophet to wield absolute control. And I think that that's where we're headed. There was recently a Gallup poll, Jan, a 2016 poll, which revealed that most Americans believe that our country will become entirely cashless in our own lifetimes. And we're seeing the same thing in other countries around the world. So again, we're not just waiting until the tribulation period before this starts.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening right now as a means of preparing for the eventual fulfillment of this prophecy, which will take place probably about the midpoint of the tribulation period.
Yeah, I appreciate your clarifying that, because indeed, there's a foreshadowing of a lot of things that blossom in the tribulation, but there are some signs that they're budding even as we speak.
You know, Ron, I know there's somebody listening right now that's wondering, well, does that mean I shouldn't use a debit card or bill pay through my bank or that kind of thing? Or am I buying into the globalist or even antichrist system at this point? And I think some thoughts from you about that would be good.
Well, that's a great question. In fact, I do touch on that in my book. And, you know, we all use credit cards and we all have technology stored on our smartphones, which it makes it very easy for us to buy things. And I can tell you for a fact, I use very little cash, personally. I pay all my bills online, for example. So there's nothing intrinsically wrong with that. But what we do know for a fact is that the forces of the Antichrist will use available technologies that are innocent in themselves, but he will use them for evil purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this technology will not only relate to the cashless society, but I also believe that the technology that is in place today will also grease the skids, as it were, for globalism. Our modern technology makes it easy for a globalist economy and government to take over. As well, when we read in the text of Scripture, for example, that every eye will see the two prophetic witnesses of Revelation 11 lying in the street, it used to be that people didn't know how that could possibly be fulfilled. But modern technologies make it possible, whether through television or through videos that go viral on the internet. So the point that I'm making is that modern technologies are innocent in themselves, but they can be used for a variety of purposes, some good purposes, but also evil purposes during the tribulation period. So the bottom line is, it's not wrong for us to use cashless means of paying for things today. All I'm saying is that in the future, these technologies will be abused so that the Antichrist can gain complete control over people.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have Eric Barger in studio with me, and we're talking to Dr. Ron Rhodes. The book is End Times, Super Trends, a Political, Economic, and Cultural Forecast of the Prophetic Future. You can find that at christianbook.com. Ron, let's try to hit just a few more of your trends, because you've got a lot of them, and we're not going to get to all of them, but I wanted to get to some that jumped out at me as I was preparing. And you talk a little bit about, now this comes off kind of scary, it does, and you talk a little bit about an electronic Pearl Harbor that could happen as one of the trends. And now whether or not, and I'm not sure that would be a pre-tribulation, a tribulation event, I don't think we know. It certainly could happen at any time. But let's discuss that for just a minute. Then you go on to talk about an EMP threat. And that would be this electronic magnetic set off, 2 miles, 5 miles above the Earth, EMP. And Revelation certainly seems to talk about nuclear war during Armageddon. And I want to ask you about North Korea in just a moment. But talk to us for just a moment about this EMP attack, because I think that's being a little bit quiet. I don't think anybody wants to scare people with it.
No, we certainly don't want to scare people, but we want to tell the truth. You know, if there's a person, for example, who goes to the doctor and the doctor discovers that person has a very serious disease, then the doctor says to himself, well, I don't want to be doomsday about any of this, so I'm not going to tell him the truth. I'll tell him he's okay. Well, you know, it's better if the doctor tells the truth. Likewise, I'm not doomsday in my orientation. You know, I don't want to, you know, make anybody feel bad, but I also want to tell the truth, because Scripture commands us to tell the truth. And the truth is that there are some dangerous technologies that could be used against the United States in the future. It's always been my belief, Jan, and I say this as an American patriot, but I have long believed that it's going to be possible that the United States will weaken in power in the end times. And it seems to me that there's going to be a power shift from the United States over to the United States of Europe, the revived Roman Empire. We know for a certainty that when Israel is attacked by Russia and the various Muslim nations in the Ezekiel invasion, no one will come to the rescue view right. of Israel, including the United States.
That's right.
Why not? Why doesn't the United States act? It could be that the United States becomes severely weakened. And one possible means of America's weakening is what's called an EMP attack, which is an electromagnetic pulse That's attack. Right. And that basically involves detonating a nuclear warhead up in the atmosphere above the United States, and that fries everything electronically, including your cell phones and your computers, all means of communication. And we're not talking about for 1 week. We're not talking about 2 weeks. The top experts in our country have said that if there is a significant major EMP attack against our country, it could actually be several years before we get back up and running again.
Let me just play a quick clip here that backs up sort of what you're saying. It's a little Fox News special here. Former Navy SEAL is speaking into this.
What North Korea is at least claiming about this last test is talking about a powerful electromagnetic pulse that they say could knock out entire cities in the U.S. It seems to me the stakes have gotten higher when this is not just a hydrogen bomb, which is massive enough, scary enough. But when you walk through this, what exactly is an EMP? It's the burst of radiation when a nuclear weapon is detonated above the Earth. No blast felt on Earth, but the electromagnetic fields still reach the surface. And the bottom line is that the aim of this is to knock out power in much of the U.S. And the claim from experts is that outages could last for months, affecting hospitals, emergency services, food, and water. Talk to us a little bit about this, Dave, of the notion that this kind of electromagnetic attack could go beyond just taking out lives. They could be taking out our electric grid as well.
No, absolutely. Electromagnetic pulse is a real thing, and so it's a high-altitude detonation of a nuclear weapon could cause that, amongst other things, right? And it would be absolutely devastating if it was over a certain area, depending, especially large city centers or areas like that that are dependent upon those things, and it shuts down all sorts of things, including our financial systems. The impacts would be global.
Ron Rhodes, how do you see North Korea fitting into the end time scenario?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that, you know, especially talking about EMP attacks, a number of their own nuclear tests have involved test detonations that are consistent with an EMP attack. You know, you're not talking about a 100-megaton weapon. You know, they use a certain type of nuclear bomb to detonate in the atmosphere. And several of the tests that the North Koreans have engaged in have been consistent with that.
Yes, they have. That's right.
And it's not just North Korea. There's also Russia and there's Iran that we're very concerned about, especially since our own intelligence agencies have witnessed Iran launching missiles up to the atmosphere where they detonate. What are they practicing mm-hmm. for? And as well, why is it that the Russians, as of 2017, why is it that they have been practicing moving their entire population into underground shelters? Mm-hmm. They have built these large shelters. What are they practicing for? You see, the whole nuclear doctrine has now changed. They used to believe in mutually assured destruction,
right.
that we don't attack the other guy
That's
because
right.
the other guy could attack us. But Russia now seems to think that a nuclear exchange is survivable. That is why they are practicing moving their entire population underground. So we've got a combined threat, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. And this is one of those things that I was talking about a little bit earlier in the broadcast, that we've got problems that are so cascading out of control that people are calling out for a leader who can take control and end the madness. You see, I think that all of this is leading to a mentality of saying we need a person
right.
who can cross over all national boundaries and take control mm-hmm. of the world so that we don't have these nation-state threats anymore. And so I think it's all preparing for what we're going to see taking place during the tribulation period.
Yeah. 1957, Henry Spock said, give us a man, be he God or devil, we will receive him. That's right. Okay, Ron, quickly, let's just hit a couple of other trends here in the time we have left. I don't want a few to get biased here, but the loss of privacy, I mean, this is big, big time. So you write about it. It's one of the end time super trends. Some of the things we've already talked about play into the loss of privacy, certainly technology.
Well, that's right. A lot of people don't like to think that they're being watched, but guess what? We're being watched.
Yep, we're being watched.
We are being watched in a number of different ways. One of the ways is through cameras. There are virtually thousands of cameras around. In fact, if you were over in London, and I like London as a city. I've been there and have enjoyed it in the past, even though the religious makeup of London has changed quite a bit recently. But the fact is that the average person that works in London is like photographed and on camera some 3,000 times a month. If you're in a major city in the United States, there are cameras. cameras everywhere. And the thing of it is that our own government is using what's called biometric technology, such as face scanners, to scan people through these cameras. And it's a means, you know, that they say is a way of catching terrorists. But the truth of the matter is that we're all being scanned. Now, here's an example, Jan. When the bombs went off in London, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I was there.
Oh, you were?
I was there, and all of a sudden, it was a machine gun city. There, you know, cops everywhere with machine guns. And the fact of the matter is, I was on those exact underground trains the entire week prior to the bombs detonating. And I happen to know for a certainty that I absolutely must be on the security tapes there.
Really?
Now, the question is this. What if you look like one of the bad guys? You know, that's one of the things that I think concerns us all in terms of the loss of privacy today. But it's not just cameras. It's also on the Internet. You're being tracked.
That's right.
You know, you leave a footprint everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And not only that, but there's all kinds of ways that your computer can get infected with people tracking where you go on the Internet. And it's a scary thing to think about. You know, it's not just Big Brother that's watching. There's just a whole lot of other people, some of them quite devious, who are watching.
That's right.
You know, what Ron just mentioned, one of the pictures I took at a recent conference was sent back to me by Google in a very friendly way saying, gee, we're making sure that your pictures are safe. In other words, they are in my phone, even though I didn't tell them they could get there.
Okay, well, with that, I think we need to take another short time out. Thank you, Eric, for sharing that, because that is fascinating. When we come back, we'll wrap this up and we'll hit a few more trends. Trends come out of Ron Rhodes' newest book, End Times Super Trends. And you can find the book at christianbook.com, your local Christian bookstore. We're not carrying it, so best not to call here. You can get a CD of any program. Get a CD of this program. Just give us a call if you'd like to do that and become a CD subscriber. And you got to call us for that as well. We need to use a credit card to process CD subscription. A lot of you are doing that. We have way over 600 CD subscribers. Now a month. We're coming back in just a couple of minutes. We'll wrap this up with Ron Rhodes, Eric Barger in studio with me. Don't go away.
As we approach the end of 2017, we here at Understanding the Times Radio encourage you to consider a year-end financial gift to this broadcast ministry. We are trusting God that our listeners will stand with us in helping to underwrite the expenses of bringing this program to them week after week. Will you join the many who've already decided that this outreach is a good investment in the lives of people across the USA? Every weekend, from coast to coast, we're sending the message Jesus is coming again. We want the truth to penetrate the airwaves. Our hope and prayer is people will consider eternity and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can give online at olivetreeviews.org or when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Remember, you can order a CD copy of today's broadcast when you phone 763-559-4444. More from Dr. Ron Rhodes right after this.
Thanks for standing with this radio outreach, both prayerfully and financially, for 17 years. I have always tried to give you the good news amidst the troubling headlines that we read daily. The Bible says that without hope, the people perish. Well, there is hope today, but that is rooted in the message of the Bible. The King is coming. If you are ready to meet him, then be encouraged. But would you keep this message on air in our over 800 radio markets with a year-end gift online at olivetreeviews.org or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can drop us a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. We want to equip you for today and tomorrow. We want to provide news, views, and truths, but more than that, make sure you are ready to meet the King. This is Jan Markell, and in a day when everything is being redefined, our goal is to bring the truth of the Bible into focus without compromise and without redefinition. Thank you for standing with us by listening every week.
Today's Understanding the Times continues with the author of End Times Super Trends, Ron Rhodes. Again, here's Jan Markell.
And so we have to tolerate things, do we not? And that's what this means. Something, maybe something that we don't especially like. That's a good tolerance, but there's a tolerance today that's the new religion in this country. And what it doesn't simply mean that we put up with something. It doesn't simply mean that we tolerate something. It means that uncritical tolerance that sees everything as equal. Nothing's good, nothing's bad, everything's equal. If you say this is right or this is wrong, then you're intolerant. If you dare say anything is wrong with anything, then you're intolerant.
And that is, again, one of the end time super trends, and we're going to talk about it. Let me quickly say before we do that this program is always posted to my website Saturday morning, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. If you are just too busy running around to listen on radio, then listen at your leisure at olivetreeviews.org. Once you look into my print and e-newsletter, that's how I keep in touch with you, even keep in touch with you about upcoming radio guests. And today I am so pleased to be featuring for the hour Dr. Ron Rhodes. He was at one time the Bible answer man, and sometimes I consider him an answer man to this day. I know that was some years ago you did that, Ron. And we're talking about his newest book, End Times Super Trends, and I want to, because we're running out of time, I want to hit a few more trends before the hour is out. Eric Barger is in studio with me. Ron, look, we've got the pending deterioration of religious freedom. Now, I think we kind of were granted a little bit of extra time with Donald Trump. Having said that, we still have the surge of secular humanism and all that surrounds that.
Well, that's right. And there's actually been a societal shift in our country. And that societal shift involves a new cultural policy which says, tolerate everyone and everything except for Christians and Christian morality.
Right.
You know, we're the piranhas. We're the bad guys in all of this. And we like to think of America as being the country of religious freedom. And strictly speaking, we are. On paper, we are. But we are seeing Christians being marginalized left and right in our country, whether it's in the education system, whether it's in corporate America or anywhere else. Christians are being marginalized and they are being persecuted for holding to Christian beliefs. Now, you're certainly right. Secular humanism is growing left and right, and they deny the supernatural. They deny God. They deny the afterlife. But they're very aggressive in pushing their agenda. And part of their agenda is not just to silence Christians, but to do away with them. It's gotten very violent. It's gotten vitriolic. And to tell you the truth, Jan, I think that the average Christian today has become a little bit fearful, and they're being quiet
right.
when they should be standing up for the truth.
We hold back a little bit because everything is tolerated but Bible-believing Christians, and so some are starting to be a little more silent. You're absolutely right.
And, you know, what I think needs to happen is what my old friend used to say. My old friend, I'm talking about Walter Martin, and that is that we need a baptism of boldness to fall upon the church. And what I would love to see happen is for Christians to turn their faces against the cold, harsh wind of political correctness and tell the truth in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, it's as you say, you're right. If a believer stands for truth, they will be marginalized, victimized, and ostracized. But frankly, if you stand for evil, Ron, you'll probably be heralded and celebrated. I mean, that's just the new reality, the new paradigm here in the 21st century. And it makes Christians extremely fearful, frustrated, and as I just said, tending to say a lot less lately.
You know what's interesting, though, about all of this is that very often these people will say that all views are equally valid. But just think about that. If it is true that all views are equally valid, what about the Christian view? Is that view equally valid? Because the Christian view says that not all views are equally valid. So the point that I'm making, Jan, is that there is a great deal of fuzzy thinking among some of our critics today. But unfortunately, as I have said, many Christians hear what they have to say and they back away and they're silent. They're not sharing the gospel anymore. They're not telling the truth about Jesus anymore. And I can promise you that when that kind of thing happens, the disease of secularism will continue to infect our country. In fact, not just
that's
a disease.
Right.
I think our country is going to continue on becoming more and more septic as a result of secular influences. And it's all because Christians are being silent today.
Yeah. One of the trends, the super trends, of course, this all leads, quite often anyway, will lead to an attack on the family. And as you said during a break, Ron, two things that are so sacred, the church, the family, and some other things that are very sacred under huge attack right now.
Well, it is. The traditional concept of the family involving a husband and wife and kids, that's out the back door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Today, the family is all about giving and receiving love. And whenever you have love being given to each other, that's a family unit, whether it's between a same-sex couple or a threesome or what whatever. And so the whole definition of the family unit has been dissolved and changed. And the thing of it is, even our younger Christians are tolerant of it. Even if they don't necessarily approve of it, polls indicate that younger Christians today are tolerant of this redefinition of the family unit. Now, Jan, God created two institutions, the church and the family. When you see one of those go down the drain, society is going to be impacted negatively. But when you see both of them go down the drain, I tell you what, our country is in trouble. And that's exactly what we're seeing in our country today. I hate sounding like I'm a doomsday prophet, because I am not. But Jan, it's time for the church to wake up. It's time for us all to get involved in standing for the truth that was once for all delivered to the saints.
Well, you write. You write in this book, you say the traditional concept of marriage will continue to be marginalized. The traditional concept of the family continue to be marginalized. Increasing number of people, including Christians, will choose to accept same-sex marriage. The family will increasingly be understood as any group of people who live together in a loving relationship. You say scripture twisting will continue among those seeking divine sanction for their deviant lifestyles. You say cohabitation will increasingly be accepted as the norm. Viewing pornography will increasingly be accepted as the norm. Criticizing people who hold to a different view than we do likely will continue to be categorized as a hate crime in various countries around the world. So, Ron, you know, that's kind of a bleak forecast you have there. And I don't think we want to spell everything here in gloom and doom. But nonetheless, we're talking about trends, your end time super trends.
I was just going to say, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel, because God, through prophecy, not only tells us what the end times are going to look like in terms of all of this bad stuff, but the trends, you know, the Bible, in terms of prophecy and signs of the times, tells us very clearly that we are headed toward glory.
Amen.
Somebody once said they read the last chapter in the book, and
that's
we win.
We win.
You know, so it may seem like doom and gloom, but you see, God has a wondrous and glorious existence in store for us. And it's better than you can even think of. You know, no mind has conceived of, no eye has seen, no ear has heard of how awesome it's going to be for believers in Jesus Christ. And if there's anything that this doom and gloom does, I hope it awakens people to the need for the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they can become on the side of light instead of on the side of darkness.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jan, as Ron was talking just now, I was remembering the message he gave on heaven at one of the Understanding the Times conferences, and how good it was. And I've read several of your books, Ron. I've been at conferences with you, spoken at the conferences with you, had private conversation with you. I've never heard you so urgent. And I think it's really time that a lot of us speak up in that way. And I'm blessed to hear you talk about the urgency you feel for the church. And I hope that people out there are catching this. And as I read this new book, I just thought, this is a book people have to read, because every chapter really does outline where we are and what we should be doing.
Well, amen. I think, you know, one of the things that we need is not just for professionals in the church to take this seriously, but every single Christian out there, because every single Christian can sparkle like a diamond in this dark world. And that's exactly what I think we need.
I don't want the hour to get away from us. I want to at least reference it, because you do cover it, and you cover it so adequately. Again, the book is End Times Super Trends by Ron Rhodes, and I encourage you to check your Christian bookstore for this. And that is the super sign, because all that we're talking about might even be irrelevant had the super sign not happened back in 1948. And again, churches today, I want to say they're marginalizing that message. I don't think that's an overstatement to say that they're just basically not giving it a lot of attention. The significant thing that happened on May 14th, 1948, we're coming up here in another year or so on quite an anniversary of that happening.
Well, you know, it is the super sign, because nothing else makes sense prophetically unless that super sign comes to pass. A lot of people talk about, well, what about people 500 years ago talking about prophecy? Well, Israel hadn't been born again as a nation yet. That super sign sets the stage for everything else. For example, the Bible does prophesy that the Jews will return to the Holy Land from all over the world. Well, you know what? That couldn't happen until Israel has become a nation again. We read other prophecies about the eventual rebuilding of the Jewish temple.
That's right.
But wait a minute. That can't happen until Israel is born again as a nation. We read other prophecies about the Antichrist signing a covenant covenant with Israel. But wait a minute, that can't take place unless Israel is already reborn as a nation. So the point that I'm making is that without the rebirth of Israel, these and other Bible prophecies would make virtually no sense.
Right.
And so that's what we call it, a super sign.
Amen. Ron Rhodes, I want to thank you for joining me this hour. Eric, you as well. And folks, you want to check out his book, End Times Super Trends. I've read it, as has Eric. We've read it cover to cover, A Political, Economic, and Cultural Forecast of the Prophetic Future. If you want to order online, go to christianbook.com. Get it in CD version, e-version, hard copy version. Ron, thank you for your multiple books. What number is this one now?
It's in the 70s now.
Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's tremendous because it's got some truth in it that, again, the pulpits are just kind of shying away from a little bit. So therefore, we're so grateful that you, Mark Hitchcock, and others are and putting them into print. Let me just go out of the program saying this. It's a little saying I like to use now and then. Sort of sums up at least a topic like we've covered today. When the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm, the stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, the Lord ascended, and when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early, He's never late, He's always right on time, and His plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
We are a moment, you are forever. Lord of the ages, God before time, we are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. You need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Contributions are also accepted at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.